Well, good evening. Normally tonight would be Alan Greeley, so I'm not a fat mustached Alan Greeley. So he had an opportunity to take a night off because I missed an opportunity to preach earlier last month, and I asked him, I'm like, I still would like to be able to give the lesson. Would you be willing to? And he graciously let me do this, so thank you, Alan. And also thank you to the elders. I used to say for letting the young men get up here and preach, but now that Austin's 40 and I'm by his age, we can't say young men either. So, but if you're a visitor, we're so thankful that you're here. We love you, we love your soul, and we might not even know your name. We're so thankful that you're here tonight because that means that you are spiritually minded, and our goal and our purpose is to serve God and preach His Word and preach nothing other than that. As you can see on the board, tonight I'm going to talk about the Bible versus the Book of Mormon and the testing of the prophets. And the way that I came about this lesson is so funny. This morning he talked about watching BYU TV, and that kind of made me feel old because my wife and I, we were actually watching a documentary, and that kind of came up. And it was about a prophet. And to me, a prophet is someone who is a spokesman of God. And this prophet said that because of the way that I live my life, the way that I live my life, and the way that I guide my family and the way that I teach my children, I'm going to hell because I believe in the Bible. That the destiny of my children are, they're condemned because of the way that I'm raising them. And that did not sit well with me. Matt, that just stuck in my crawl. Where I come from, that's a burr under my saddle. I just did not like the thought of that, the thought that a prophet, someone who is a spokesman of God, said that the way that I was living my life, I was condemned. And so, being a person who wants to go to heaven, should I just get mad? Or should I say, well, is this a true prophet? Is this prophet truly telling me that I'm living my life wrong? And I need to find out whether or not he is of God. So that is what spurred this lesson tonight. And I hope you get from it what I got from putting it together. So first and foremost, what is a prophet? In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 18, we read, I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command. So when we dissect that down a little bit more, we actually pull out different parts of it that give us what a prophet is. First and foremost, it says, I will raise. So if you calculate that out, it means that God chooses who the person will be, who that prophet will be. The next part, it goes down, you see it says, it's highlighted, it says, my word. So it means that God directs the prophet. It's not the person's words that is chosen. It is truly God's words or his commandments that are passed on. So it comes from God himself. The next portion of that, it says, shall speak to them all I command. So the prophet talks to the people what God has commanded. So it is dispersed. It's not something that person just holds eternally within them. It is something that comes from God to the prophet, and the prophet disperses out to other people to get the message out. So how do we know if a message is truly from God? Well, because we're comparing two different books and Bibles, more or less, the Book of Mormon as well as the Revised, which we'll talk about, Holy Bible by Joseph Smith, and our Bible, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 22. I want to go ahead and say this up front so we make sure that we're balancing this out. Deuteronomy 18 and 22 is both in the Joseph Smith Revised version of the Bible as well as ours. So this is a true test that is accepted by both sects of people that are in both religions, Christianity and Mormonism. So in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22, if in fact you've already turned there, we'll read, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if that thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. So, I'm a banker. I like graphs. I like charts. That's my world. So, we break this down. The test of a prophet. It comes from God, goes to the prophet. From the prophet, it goes out to the people. How we test whether or not it is truly from God, and if they are a true prophet, if it comes true, they get a pass. That's what that scripture tells us. They are of God. However, if it does not come true, they fail. They are not a prophet of God, and the message did not come from God. A simple test. So, what happens if it does come true? Well, then we know that it is a true prophet of God, and we look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 19, and we see that we are to listen and to obey, because it is God's word. God tells us how we are to live our lives. He is our creator, and so we should live our lives according to how he tells us. However, if it does not come true, the prophecy, it is a fail and it is not of God, then in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 20, we read that the prophet is to be put to death. Now, do we all grab our pitchforks and our hoes or our machetes and we go running after the person that's saying it, and do we kill them? No. Death is a separation, correct? So what this is telling us is, if in fact someone is prophesying something that is not of God and is not true, we are to separate ourselves from them. We are to put that prophecy to death, have nothing to do with it. Because if we follow that prophecy, we are dead to God. So we are to put that prophecy and that belief system away and have nothing to do with it. So with that being said, let's test some prophets. We're going to talk, there's a lot of prophets out there. I picked a few. We picked two from the Bible. We have Isaiah and Micah, which are about 600 and 700 BC prophets. We also picked three prophets from the Book of Mormon because we want to give them a chance to make sure that we had more opportunity to see what prophets had to say. So we picked Alma, Nephi, and Joseph Smith. Alma is from about 91 BC. Nephi is about 600 BC, and Joseph Smith is from about 1823. So there's a big gap in time in which these prophets prophesied. So with that being said, this is going to be a very technical lesson. It's going to be more of a kind of a lecture that would be more in a classroom setting, because it's a lot of facts and discovery as we go along the way. So we're going to have timelines. And so I wanted to throw a timeline up at the very beginning to show you and encapsulate what we're looking at. So we're going to be going from about the prophecies of 750 BC to 600 BC. There were prophecies from before there then, and I know that, but we're going to be looking at the prophets from this time period. We're going to be looking at Micah and Isaiah, which are from the Bible. We're going to be looking at Nephi, which is from the Book of Mormon. These prophets we're going to test, as well as you come up a little bit further, you see that we actually have Alma, who was about 91 BC. If you come down, you see that I have a section that says 300 BC to 100 BC. This is a crucial time. This is a time which it just amazes me, God's providence. God did something at this point in time, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on, where a key to the confirming of the validity of the Bible took place. And that was around the 100 to 300 BC period, and we'll talk about that. Christ came, he lived on the earth, he was crucified for our sins, he died, the apostles walked with Christ, and then after Christ passed away, the apostles walked with the early Christians. After the apostles passed on, then we had just the first century church by themselves, and in this time period, Christianity spreads all throughout. Inspired letters are written, which we have in our Bible today. We have copies of manuscripts, and those are copied over and over, and those are mass-produced from the prophecies of old, and those we also have in our Bible. So we have all these works from these time periods in our Bible today. It's not all-inclusive. There are other things that were done outside of it, but we have these works in our Bible today. So all is moving along. Then something happened that changed this course. Joseph Smith, in September of 1823, received a revelation. And this revelation prophesied a change in the course of how things were progressing with regards to what the Bible was and how it was looked at as a standard. And we're going to test him as a prophet as we get into this lesson and test his prophecies as well. But then something else happened that ties in with the earlier point of 300 to 100 BC. In 1947, which I'm sure some of you are going, okay, I know what he's going to talk about. In 1947, some preserved evidence came out and was found. And it clarifies a lot of the testing of the prophets that we're going to look at tonight. And today, we're going to look at these prophets. We're going to look at the Book of Mormon. And we're going to test our own prophets to make sure that they are true. And we're going to test the Book of Mormon prophets to make sure that they are true. Because we want to do what is right and we want to follow God's word. And if the Book of Mormon prophets are true and accurate, then we need to follow what they say. But if they are not, we need to follow what the Bible prophets say. Fair enough. So, first and foremost, this is another timeline. This is a timeline that we as a Christian, when we look at it, this is what we would see. We see that we're going to talk about some prophets from about 600 BC. The manuscripts were written that we're going to be talking about. Christ came and died. The apostles preached, and the first century church grew. Letters were written, and the word spread all throughout. However, Joseph Smith in 1823, he received a revealed revelation about the life of Nephi, who also was a prophet. He also received revelation about other prophets that we're going to talk about some of them, but not all of them. Plus, he has revealed to him other books of prophecy, which are included in the Book of Mormon. There's three books actually in one. This revelation is by mouth and also on gold tablets from Moroni. If you've gone through Gilbert in the New Temple, it's the gold guy on top. They're putting him on top of the temple. He's blowing a trumpet. This revelation reveals that the Bible is actually corrupt. So Joseph Smith receives revelation that the actual Bible is corrupt and that it was corrupted by the first century church, the Christians. He also has revealed to him that all the plain and precious parts in the Bible that were taken out, that corrupted the Bible, he received them, the things that were taken out, so he could actually rewrite the Bible. So by this, what it is saying is from the period of time, let's see if this works, from the period of time right here in blue, where the apostles and the church were growing, that is where the plain and precious items were taken out of the Bible and the Bible was actually corrupted. So he, receiving revelation, received all the things that were taken out of it that would make the Bible whole again. So he wrote a revised version of the Bible, New and Old Testament. And magically, the gold tablets go back to heaven, and there's no proof of them today. So with that being said, let's read about this prophecy that we were listening to that disturbed me. Nephi is the prophet. It's Nephi 13:26. And after they go forth by the hand of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, from the Jews unto the Gentiles, thou seest the formation of that great and abominable church. That's the first century church. That's our brothers and sisters of old. Which is most abominable above all other churches. For behold, they have taken away from the gospel of the Lamb many parts which are plain and most precious. And also many covenants of the Lord have they taken away. So what it's saying is the first century church, if we go back, they corrupted the Bible. This is where the Bible was being corrupted. They took out parts of the Bible as they made copies of the manuscripts. They took out whatever they wanted. And all, verse 27, and all this have they done that they might pervert the right way of the Lord, that they might blind the eyes and harden the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore, thou seest that after the book hath gone forth through the hands of the great and abominable church, as they're making copies of it over the years, it's talking about, that there are many plain and precious things taken away from the book, which is the book of the Lamb of God. After these plain and precious things were taken away, it goes forth unto all the nations of the Gentiles, and after it goes forth unto all the nations of the Gentiles, yea, even across the many waters, which thou hast seen, the Gentiles which have gone forth out of captivity, thou seest. Because of the many plain and precious things which have been taken out of the book, which were plain unto the understanding of the children of men, according to the plainness which is the Lamb of God. Now this is a key part. Because of these things which are taken away out of the gospel of the Lamb, an exceedingly great many do stumble. Yea, insomuch that Satan hath great powers over them. Well, we're across the waters and we have the word of God. It has been passed down, and it has been copied and copied and copied. And what this is telling us, this is a prophecy from Nephi from 600 years approximately before Christ was born, that if in fact we believe in the Bible, if this is our book that tells us how to live our lives, we are under Satan's power. That doesn't set well with me. This is a prophet from the time of Micah. We go on deeper into the prophecy. Nephi chapter 14, verse 3. And the great pit which hath been digged for them by the great and abominable church, that's us, which was founded by the devil and his children, that he might lead away the souls of men down to hell. Yea, the great pit which hath been digged for the destruction of men shall be filled by those who digged it. Unto their utter destruction, saith the Lamb, not the destruction of the soul, save it be the casting of it unto the hell which hath no end. So once again, it is saying that if you are of the church that believes in the Bible, if you are a Christian, your foundation is the devil. So let's meet this Nephi, okay? Nephi, the title that they give him is the righteous prophet and forefather. Like I mentioned, he's from about 600 BC. There is no record of him before Joseph Smith as a prophet with this level of prophecy. So he comes into the world as we know it in 1823, but the prophecy says that he actually prophesied this in 600 BC. Per Nephi, what happened was the manuscripts were being written, and they are fine. Nothing's wrong with them. They're being copied. They're not being changed. Everything is good. Christ comes. Everything still is good. However, as Christ fades out of the picture and he is killed, and the apostles are fading out and the first century church is coming into the picture, the first century church takes the letters and the manuscripts and they manipulate them and take things out of them. So what he's saying is the monks, as they say it in some of their books, they actually took out the plain and precious parts and the covenants that made the Bible from God. So now that they've taken these things out, they say that the Bible is now of the devil. And if you believe only in the Bible, you are of the devil. So then that, therefore, hence, ergo, makes the first century Christians and those of us who believe in first century Christianity the great and most abominable church. So that tells us that we all are going to hell if we only believe in this, which, once again, does not sit well with me, and I want to go to heaven. So we have this prophecy. So we as Christians, wanting to go to heaven, wanting to make sure that we're doing what is right, we need to make sure that we are truly following the correct prophecies of God. We have the correct Bible that is given to us, and it is truly the path in which we should take. So how do we test the Bible if, in fact, that's all that we have? Well, a wonderful thing happened in 1947. The Dead Sea Scrolls came about. The Dead Sea Scrolls are manuscripts preserved in caves from about 300 to 100 BC before Christ. They include full manuscripts of Isaiah. They include Micah. They include other prophets. It was just a plethora of manuscripts that were found. So when we take and look at this prophecy that tells us that approximately where this blue starts, that the Bible started being perverted and plain and precious things were being taken out of it, that means that the current Bible we have would look nothing like the original manuscripts. However, the beautiful thing is with the Dead Sea Scrolls, they date back to about 300 to 100 BC being put in a cave. They were put in this cave and they sat untouched, unmolested for thousands of years. And they were not found until 1947. So per Nephi and his prophecy, if in fact his prophecy is true, these manuscripts here would have been totally adulterated and changed and things taken out of them in our current Bible today. So when we take our current Bible today and we compare our Bible against the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were preserved in time before the changing of the Bible, they're still the same. No plain and precious parts are missing. When you compare the entire book of Isaiah to the manuscripts of Isaiah, it's the same as what is in your hands if you're holding your Bible right now. If you compare it to Micah, It is the same. Nothing has changed. So, with that being said, let's test Nephi and Joseph with regards to our little example that we set up from the very beginning. We want to know if it is actually from God. Well, Joseph prophesied about Nephi and had his revelation about Nephi. So he prophesied, as well as the fact that Nephi prophesies the Bible will be corrupted. Next question. Did it go out to the people? The prophecy is spread through the Book of Mormon, and people are told all over the world about it. So far we're following the steps. Did it come true, or does it not come true? Well, it does not come true, because we see that the ancient manuscripts prove the Bible is not corrupted and that there is no need for new revelation. Also, that there is no proof of Nephi nor his prophecy, because the tablets that Joseph Smith said that he received with this prophecy are gone. They went back into heaven. So, let's test the prophets. Is Joseph Smith a prophet of God? Did his prophecy come true? No. What about Nephi? Is he a prophet of God? Did his prophecy come true? No. Did not. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on to the prophet Alma and Joseph Smith again versus the prophet Micah. Where was Jesus born? This seems like this would be a basic question and answer, right? Let's go to where was Jesus born. Well, Micah was a prophet from approximately 700 BC. And Micah, in chapter 5 and verse 2, we read, "But as for you, Bethlehem," speaking specifically to a city, "too little to be among the clans of Judah, for from you one will go forth from me to be the ruler of Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." This is clearly talking about our Messiah. This is clearly talking about Jesus, saying that Jesus will be born in the city of Bethlehem. Very clear, very concise, no way around it. In 1823, Joseph Smith was revealed to him the life of Alma, and Joseph Smith says that Alma lived in around 91 BC, and in 91 BC, Alma had a prophecy about the coming Messiah. And you can read that in the Book of Mormon, Alma chapter 7 and verse 10. It reads, "And behold, he shall be born of Mary at Jerusalem, which is the land of our forefathers, she being a virgin, a precious and chosen vessel." Right here, I'm going to pause for a second and talk about how this is argued. They say that they are the same city. They are not the same city. Any scholar, any secular world history scholar would tell you they were never considered to be the same city. They are more than 6 miles apart. And let me tell you, when you are riding a donkey, a camel, or walking, you do not consider a city 6 miles away a suburb. That's like me calling Wilcox a suburb of Tucson. It just does not happen. So there is no way to confuse the two cities. They are not one and the same. It is not Gilbert and Chandler. They are not that close. They are 6 miles away, as well as there are a couple little cities in between them. So there's no way that you can confuse the two cities. So how are we going to confirm which one is of God? We have two people that say they are of God and God gave them a prophecy. One says he was born in Bethlehem. One says he was born in Jerusalem. Well, let's confirm it by other individuals. If you go to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 6, which is also in their Bible, they changed it though, it quotes Micah. It goes back and quotes the prophecy that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. Also, if you go to Mark, Luke, and John, it also says that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And if you go to any secular world scholar, they will tell you and confirm that Christ, the Messiah, was born in Bethlehem. So, okay, well, hey, Jason, you're using the adulterated Bible. It can't be accurate. It's not right. Okay, well then let's go by what Nephi said. Remember Nephi? He said that anything before Christ, those manuscripts were fine. The manuscripts and the Bible was starting to get adulterated with the first century church and the apostles. All right, that's fair game. Let's go by what your prophet says. Well, Okay. The Dead Sea Scrolls found copies of Micah 5 verse 2. And you know what it said? It confirmed that there was a prophecy that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. So all angles point to secular, biblical, even their own prophet says that those manuscripts wouldn't be changed. And those manuscripts point to Bethlehem. So with that being said, let's test the prophets. Okay? We want to know whether it is of God. So when we use our little example here, Joseph prophesied about Alma and his revelation. Okay? So there's prophecy. Alma prophesied that Christ will be born in Jerusalem. Okay? Did it go out to all the people? Absolutely. Went out through the Book of Mormon and it's told to people all over the world. Did it come true? Ancient manuscripts, biblical scholars, secular scholars, historical accounts all confirm Christ to be born in Bethlehem, not Jerusalem. So do they pass? No, they fail. They are not prophets of God. Let's talk about Micah. Let's give him the same test. We need to make sure that we put him to the same fire. Micah prophesied that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. Okay. Did it go out to all the world? Absolutely. Prophesied and spread throughout all the manuscripts. It's in Bibles. It's all over the world. So did the prophecy go out to man? Yes, it did. And we confirm with the same things that it was true, that Christ was truly born in Bethlehem, and he passes as a prophet. So we run the test. Did he pass? No. Joseph Smith is out. Did the prophet Alma pass? Absolutely not. He is out. Did the prophet Micah pass as a prophet of God? Absolutely. Yes, he is a prophet of God. By the standard in Deuteronomy 18:22, by the standard of the Revised Joseph Smith translation, as well as the Bible that we have. Let's bring out the big dogs now. Let's bring out Isaiah and Joseph Smith, the founder of their church, as well as one of the great prophets that had many, many prophecies. Isaiah was from around the 700 BC area. He had many prophecies about Christ. As well as Joseph Smith, he actually was more of the 1830s to 40s when he had a majority of his prophecies, somewhere in the 1820s, and he had tons of prophecies as well. What we're going to do is we're going to run down through a list of them, and we're going to find out whether or not they came true or whether or not they did not come true. Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah was going to be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7, verse 14, it was fulfilled in Matthew 1, also in Luke 1. Prophecy number one. Prophecy number two. Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah was to be rejected by his own people. That was in Isaiah 53:1-3. That was fulfilled in Matthew 26:3-4, John 12:37-43. Isaiah prophesied also that he was to be tried and condemned. Isaiah 53:8. That was confirmed and fulfilled in Luke 23:1-25. Isaiah also prophesied that the Messiah was to be silent before his accusers. That's documented in Luke 23:8-10. Isaiah in 700 BC also prophesied that the Messiah was to be struck and spat upon by his enemies. That was in Isaiah 15:6. It was confirmed and fulfilled. The prophecy came true in Mark 14:65. Isaiah also prophesied that the Messiah was to suffer with criminals and pray for his enemies. That is Isaiah 53:12. And it was fulfilled and came true in Mark 15:27-28. And last but not least, there are many other prophecies out there, but these are the ones we're looking at. The Messiah was to die as a sacrifice for sin, and that's for you and me. And that was prophesied in Isaiah 53:5-6, 8:10-12. It was fulfilled in John chapter 1, 29, Acts 10, and 43. The fulfillment of these, I just picked a few that documented it. I did not pick them all. So there are more evidences out there that they, in fact, did come true. So let's be fair. Let's go ahead and look at Joseph Smith. His prophecies, like I said, were around the 1830s to 1840s, some before that. Joseph Smith prophesied that Zion and its temple will be built at Independence, Missouri, in this generation. That's in Doctrine and Covenants 84:2. Well, it's still a grassy lot. So unless there are a lot of individuals that are walking around that are close to 200 years old, That prophecy was not fulfilled. That temple has not been built. So that prophecy has failed. Also, there was a prophecy of a promise that if the saints are obedient in the building of a temple, then the city of Zion, which is in Missouri, will prosper and become glorious, and that Zion cannot be moved out of its place. That's Doctrine and Covenants 97, 15 through 20. What's interesting about this, not only did this not become fulfilled, they were ran out and driven out of Missouri. So I would say that that one did not come true also. And last but not least, my favorite, I prophesy in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Unless the United States redress the wrongs committed upon the saints in the state of Missouri, because they just got ran out, remember, and punish the crimes committed by her officers, that in a few years, key words, few years, the government will be utterly overthrown and wasted, and there will not be so much as a potsherd left for their wickedness. That's History of the Church, verse 5, page 394. Last time I checked, our government's still standing. And it said that it would happen within a few years, and that was 1830s to 1840s. So I would say that that prophecy did not come true either. And that is only a fraction of the prophecies that have not come true through Joseph Smith. And we have tested him in all of these with all the other prophets as well. Because he's the founding father as well as the core to all their books. So, let's line them up. The Book of Mormon prophets. Joseph Smith, failed. Alma, failed. Nephi, failed. Let's look at our Micah. He passes. Yes, he's a prophet. And our prophet Isaiah passed with flying colors. So, let's compare the two real quick here. Because this is where it really comes down to the core of what they believe. If you are going to be a devout Mormon, and if you are going to be saved by their standard, first and foremost, you have to have the Bible. Even though it is corrupted in their Bible, which I'll talk about in a second here, it has the revisions as well as it has the additions of the plain and precious things that Joseph Smith received. So you have to have the core to start from. And then on top of that, you have to have the Joseph Smith New Translation of the Bible. And I apologize to you in the back, but I wanted to show you something about this book. What this does is this is a side-by-side of, if you can see, there's two columns. This side right here is the inspired version of Joseph Smith. This side right here is the King James Version. As you can see, the inspired version has a lot more ink on it. The King James Version has a lot less. What's scary is whenever you turn the page and look at how much more there is in Joseph Smith's version as opposed to the true Bible. This is the Joseph Smith version. This is the true Bible. That many scriptures have been added in. Pages and pages. He has gone back and prophesied himself into the Bible. He has gone back and prophesied himself and his prophets into the Bible. By their standard, if you don't have this and this, you are going to hell. Also on top of that, you need to have the Pearl of Great Price, which is included in this book. This is they have three together, the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price. You have to have that, which he wrote. Also, you have to have the Doctrine of Covenants, as well as you have to have the Book of Mormon, which is the most important of all. So to be a individual who goes to heaven, to be right with God, you have to have all of these. There's three books in the top one. There's two books, because the Old and New Testament, technically, in this revision, and then there's the Old and New Testament as we know it. That doesn't seem very plain to me, and they use that word quite often. What's also interesting about this, if you look at all these, the one that is given the most, the least amount of respect is the only one that Joseph Smith had absolutely nothing to do with. This is the only one that he had no control over writing. His New Testament he wrote, the Pearl of Great Price he wrote, this is put out by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in which he started, as well as the Book of Mormon, is all of his prophets that he had revealed to him. Yet to be a Christian, all we have is this. We have tested the prophets of all of this, and we have found that the Bible is of God, because the Bible has prophets that their prophecies actually came true. So we know that this is of God because the prophecies came true. These, on the other hand, are of Joseph Smith, and none of the prophecies that we covered came true. And everything that is based in all of those books is based off of the revelation of Joseph Smith. And Joseph Smith was tested in every one of those situations, and none of the prophecies came true. So, we as Christians, if we want to go to heaven, should only adhere to the Bible and put these away. We should put them to death, it says, because they are prophecies that are not true. We should separate ourselves from them because they are not of God. So, there is nothing more plain and precious than the Bible. There is nothing more perfect than the Bible. There is no need to add to it. There is no need to take away from it. And if anyone ever prophesies or says that they have a prophet that has said that there are other books that we need to listen to, a creed or whatever it might be, might not be Mormonism. It might be some other religion where they say that they have a creed book. Test their prophets. Because only God's prophets, the prophecies truly come true if they are from God. If you are not a member of the Church of Christ, this is a little bit of a different lesson. We're talking about another religion tonight. But it's important for us to understand, if in fact there are people out there that are trying to pull us away from God, we need to know what they are trying to tell us, and we need to know whether or not it is true. And if someone comes to us and says, hey, you know what, this is what you need to believe, and it's not in the Bible, we need to run away from it as quick as we can. So if you are someone that's here and you're not a Christian, this is our only creed. God has given us what we need to get to heaven. Nothing else. And if you have studied the Bible, and if you have found that your life is not what it should be, and you realize that you are one who is walking in sin, and you want to change your life. We had a brother who joined us today. It was just a moving experience. So happy that we now have a new brother in Christ. He chose to no longer walk in sin. He chose to follow what the Bible has told us to do to be saved. If you are walking in sin and you want to become a Christian, the waters are ready. They're warm even. If in fact you are someone who was baptized and you have fallen away and you're not living the life that you should, you know, we love you. We're your brothers and sisters. We will pray for you. We will go to God on your behalf. If either one of these situations are you, we ask that you please come forward as we now sing.